Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to bring a message to you today from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and let's begin by reading the last verse in this chapter, verse 29. It says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Our God is a consuming fire. What a statement. What a way to describe God, a consuming fire. Now, how many gods are there? He said, "Our God." How many true and living gods are there? The answer is one. He is not a true and living God. He is the true and living God. There's only one. In Isaiah 45, verse 5, he said, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me." I'm the only God. So there's one God. And it would be very beneficial for us to know that He is a consuming fire. The one and only God that there is, in His own words, is a consuming fire. And I'll tell you what stands out to me most about that verse is the word "is." It does not just say that our God will consume with a fire. It says our God is a consuming fire. He is the fire. He consumes. He is the consumer. Well, what does He consume? I believe we all know that the answer is sin. He consumes sin. You may remember a man named Lot in the Old Testament. He was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was warned to get out lest he be consumed with their iniquity. And God rained down His fire. God is the one who sent fire to that place and consumed the iniquity, which was people. God consumed the sin by consuming the sinners. Psalm 104, verse 35 says, "Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more." God consumes sinful men and women. This is so, so important for us to understand, because sin and wickedness has not changed in man. It has not changed at all. All have sinned. All do sin, including me, including you. All will sin. Sin has not changed in men and women. And God has not changed. Not at all. That verse does not say God was a consuming fire. It says God is. He is. Now, in this message, I have warning and I have comfort. I do have comfort. Both are going to come from this truth right here. Our God is a consuming fire. Warning is going to come from that, and comfort is going to come from that. The one and only God that there is stepped foot on this earth. He came down and stepped foot on this earth and revealed who He was before He was ever born of a virgin. God came down to Mount Sinai. In the Old Testament, He came down to Mount Sinai. And right here in Hebrews 12, verses 18 to 21 tell us that. It says in verse 18, "For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded." They couldn't endure the words. "And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart." And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." When God stepped foot on Mount Sinai, the whole thing exploded with fire. When God came down, fire came. And God said, "If anyone or anything comes near this mountain, it will die right there in its sin." And the thunderings and the quaking, it was so fearful. All the people begged, "Please don't let God talk to us." It was so fearful. His voice was so fearful. They begged, "Please don't let him speak directly to us." The scripture says the voice of the Lord is terrible. It's full of terror. That's what Psalm 29 tells us. In Psalm 29, it says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth." He is the one that thunders. "The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars." His voice breaks cedar trees. It goes on to say, "The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon," those great trees, the great cedars of Lebanon. "He makes them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness." The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. "The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest." They run off into the forest for fear. "And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory." Everyone in his temple speaks of his glory. When God revealed who he was on Mount Sinai, everybody realized he's a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire. Even Moses said, "I exceedingly quake," hearing the voice of God. Over in Exodus 24, it says in verse 12, "The Lord said to Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matter to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." Very terrible, devouring fire. This is our God. This is my God. This is your God. This is the God with whom we have to do. People leave this world and go meet God. And this is the God that they go meet. This is the God. Moses had to walk up to this God. And he realized, I'm dealing with a holy God. I'm dealing with a just God. Can you imagine walking up to that? The thundering, the lightning, the fear, the terror, the voice, the fire. Can you imagine? In order to meet God, that's what Moses had to walk up to. Every man or woman that has truly seen God as he has revealed himself to be in his word knows that he's a consuming fire. Every one of them. Over in 2 Kings chapter 1. In 2 Kings 1, there was a man named Ahaziah, and he was a king in Israel. And he was a wicked king. He worshipped false gods, and Moab attacked Israel. And this king went up and hid in the lattice that was in the top of his bedroom. And the lattice broke, and he fell, and he was badly injured. He was bedridden. And he told some of his servants to go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if he would recover from this fall. And as they were going, God told Elijah, you go meet these servants and you tell King Ahaziah that because he has forgotten the true and living God and served another god, he's going to die. He's not going to recover from his bedridden state. And those servants went back and told the king, a man met us, and this is what he said, God says that you're going to die. And the king said, wait a minute, who was this man? What did he look like? And they described him, and the king said, I know exactly who it is. That's Elijah the Tishbite. He said, I want you to bring that man to me. He was so angry with Elijah for telling him what he did. So it says in 2 Kings 1, it says in verse 9, the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, Elijah sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. Ahaziah says to you, Elijah, you better come down and come see him. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. He said, if I am telling God's truth, if God has called me to deliver his word, then let God reveal himself right now as he has in his word, a consuming fire. Let fire come down and consume you and the 50 that are with you. And it goes on to say, there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also, he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto him, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Just consumed them all. Now this is who God is. He does not change. He has not changed. The fleshly mind will hear that, read that, see that, and say, surely that's not so. Surely that is not who God is. Even if he was that way, he can't be that way anymore. He cannot still be like that today. Well, turn with me, if you would, over to 2 Peter 3. It says in 2 Peter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. They're willingly ignorant of the fact that God destroyed this world with a flood. He said he was going to, and he did. And he only saved 8 souls out of the entire world. He said they're willingly ignorant of that. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. His usward, his chosen, not willing that any of the usward should perish, but that all of the usward should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It's all going to be burned up. Everything here is being reserved unto fire. 2 Thessalonians 1 tells us the exact same thing. It says the exact same thing. This is the reality of our God. This is the reality of the God with whom we have to do. He is a consuming fire. That's the warning. That's the warning. But here is the comfort. Here is our comfort. Thank God there's comfort. Comfort with this God who is a consuming fire. I want to tell you what the comfort is, and then I want to show you what the comfort is. Let me tell it right now. There is mercy to be had. If you are a sinner against God, and you know that you have sinned against God, and you know that God is just and holy, and He will punish and He will consume, if you see that He is a consuming fire, if you are a sinner just like I am a sinner, then there is comfort for us. And this is the comfort. There is mercy to be had. There is mercy to be had. Back in 2 Kings 1, where we just read a moment ago this story of Elijah and this man Ahaziah, this king, he sent a captain and 50 men, and God consumed them. They were worshiping the wrong king. He sent a second captain and 50 more men, and God consumed them. They were bowing to the wrong king. Verse 13, 2 Kings 1, verse 13, and he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50, and the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants. We're your servants. We're not King Ahaziah's servants. We serve you. We bow before you. Let the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. He said, I'm begging you for mercy. This is our hope. This is the God with whom we have to do. And this is our only hope. He fell down before him and said, I am begging you for mercy. This is all I have. I'm just begging you for mercy. I'm begging you to spare me. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. God said, spare his life. Spare the life of his men. He's begging for mercy. All who come for mercy, all who come begging for mercy will receive it. If you're a sinner who needs mercy, all who come to Christ, who is the true and living God, begging for mercy will receive it. I just need mercy. When James and John saw how the people rejected our Lord and they hated our Lord, they asked him, they said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven just like Elijah did and consume them all? His answer to them was this. He said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. I didn't come to this earth for the purpose of destroying men's lives, but to save them. I could have destroyed all their lives from heaven. I came to save. I came to redeem from the fire. That's why Christ came. He came to redeem His people from the fire. How did He do that? By entering into the fire Himself. He entered into the fire that His people were owed. He came to be a substitute. He came to be a sacrifice. He came to bear all of the iniquity of His people and bear all of the fire they were owed for that iniquity, every bit of it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, this is Solomon dedicating the temple of the Lord. They built this temple, and he's praying to God, dedicating the temple. And he begged God for mercy. He was standing in front of all the people and he prayed to God and he prayed on behalf of the people, Lord, we beg you for mercy. And it says actually in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. Not the people. The burnt offering and the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth. Ever. Our God is a consuming fire. That's the warning. He is. But the glory and the comfort of the gospel is our God is a consuming fire. Christ, our sacrifice, was consumed in our place. When something is consumed, it's gone. It's consumed. All of the sin of His people. If we are His people, if we belong to Him, if God gave us to Him, and if Christ died for us, then our sin and our sins were all consumed in Him. We were in Him when He endured God's fire, God's all-consuming fire, and it's over. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't you love that story? They were thrown into the fire. And the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw the Lord, he said his feet looked like they burned in a furnace. Why did they look like that? It's because he was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And their feet were not burned. They didn't have even the smell of smoke on them. Why? The feet of their Lord and Savior were burned for them. He was burned as their substitute, burned in their place. So back in Hebrews 12, if you look with me back at our text, it says in Hebrews 12, verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Judgment's coming in that last day. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. He's going to remove everything that Christ did not die for. And every soul that Christ died for will not be shaken. It will stand firm in Him. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Oh, let's serve Him. Let's bow before Him. Because Christ stood in that fire for us and was consumed for us. Let's bow before Him and reverence Him and thank Him. Because where the fire has consumed, there's nothing left to be consumed. There's nothing left to burn. Nothing left to burn. If Christ was consumed, He's gone. It's all gone. And in Him, our debt is paid. It's finished. It's finished. So it says in verse 28, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire because God has already consumed us in Christ. He will never consume us again. It's over. What good news that is. Is that not wonderful news? Our God is a consuming fire. But our God is a consuming fire. And Christ has already been consumed. Therefore, we live. We live. It's over. Moses told the people, they were so concerned, he said, stand still. Rest. See the salvation of the Lord. See what the Lord has done for you. And it'll be finished. It'll be over. And that's what every soul in glory will say. Christ, our substitute, endured that fire. And we're safe. We're safe. And this consuming fire will never consume again. Peace in Christ, rest in Christ, comfort in Christ. May the Lord truly comfort our hearts in that. And may He cause us to cry out for this mercy. Cry out for mercy. If you have never cried out for mercy, do it today. Do it right now. Today is the day. Lord, be merciful to me. I'm the sinner who needs a Savior. I'm the one who needs Christ to stand in my place and suffer my fire. All who ask shall receive. Until next week, may the Lord bless His Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.